webcasting to the world, live, the good news of God's righteousness for all humanity. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's the first day of the work week, Monday, September 22nd, 2008, the only September 22nd, 2008 in the history of humanity. And to my knowledge, this is the first Gospel Revolution Monday night webcast. Welcome in at the start of the week, you beautiful humans. We're happy to have you. The reason that we're coming to you tonight on Monday night is because our producer and engineer and call screener extraordinaire, Sean O'Halloran, is going to be out of town on hump day. And so in order to effectively deal with his absence, we just did the show on Monday night. And we can do that. We did it because we can. And for those of you in the United States of America and around the world that normally like to watch Monday night football, we're happy to have you with us. And you'll be able to get to most of the game and certainly the second half as Brett Favre and the New York Jets take on the San Diego Chargers in Southern California. So I get to talk a little bit about sports right now because Michael is hung up in traffic in the greater Houston, Texas area. So we'll be getting him. We just spoke with him momentarily. Or we will be speaking with him momentarily. We just spoke with him a moment ago. So we want to encourage you to get on the line right now so I don't have to just talk by myself. Talk by myself at 1-800-436-3260. That's the Glenn Klein online toll-free hotline. 1-800-436-3260. The aforementioned Sean O'Halloran waiting to take your calls, being assisted tonight by numero uno, Joe Klein, here in the Glenn Klein Online Tampa Bay studios. And Sean is headed to Atlanta, Georgia midweek. Hot Atlanta. Plus, it's Sean's birthday on Thursday. And now for those of you who have gotten your Celebrating the Journey CD for gifts of $100 or more, and if you have not yet, you should let us know because those are out and about. They've been sent along with the Gospel Revolution music mix, Songs of Redemption and Freedom, actually Freedom and Redemption, and you should have those now. And but if you don't, let us know. As we always say with all of the teaching CDs that you order or any thank you gifts, please let us know just by emailing us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. webcast@gospelrevolution.com is the email address. That's also the email address to write to us. And as I said just a moment ago, we're waiting on Michael. He is on the clock. So give us a call. Get us off to a start. And by the time you call and we get you online, hopefully Michael will be with us. 1-800-436-3260. Sean, call him on his cell phone. Because we do have cellular technology. Yeah, let's put him on his cell phone. People are waiting with bated breath to hear Michael Williams. Michael's still without power in the Houston area. No electricity yet for the president and founder of the Gospel Revolution. We've got lots of emails to get to. We're going to hear tonight from George Howell of boldgrace.com. We want to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. You got him? Seanage? That's okay. Put him on. That's super. He doesn't want to go on, ladies and gentlemen. He says 4 minutes. All right, so who is going to substitute and step in for Mike Williams? I'm waiting to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260. You beautiful humans know that I will have no problem talking for the next 4 or 5 minutes. And we'll be happy to do so, but we'll be happy to hear from you. And by the time we get a little bit into our conversation, Michael will be with us. 1-800-436-3260. So much to talk about. The financial crisis in the United States, having even atheists begin to seek out help in prayer and in intercessory activities by their believing friends. Presidential election is only 44 days away, which means the Gospel Revolution Convention is only 45 days away. Wow! 6 weeks from Wednesday. It all begins, ladies and gentlemen, at the Marriott North at Greenpoint in Houston, Texas. If you have not made your reservations yet, you probably received in the mail the flyer and the form to fill out for the conference, or just go to gospelrevolution.com, and all the information is right there. We still have a few rooms left in our block. Of course, Carlton Pearson going to be there on Wednesday night, and lots of wonderful sharing by Michael Williams. Hopefully he'll be on time to the convention. And Greg Ambergy will be leading the music all weekend long. Got a great band lined up. The Greg Ambergy Band, our Cincinnati correspondent, who is a very accomplished musician and past worship leader with the Vineyard Movement. And if any of you folks know about the Vineyard Movement, you know they are huge into music, and they understand the benefits and the power of music, and Greg is quite good, although he says he's good. We've never heard him before. In fact, hopefully he'll call tonight, and we'll have him sing a little bit. But one thing Greg's said he's going to be doing is singing a litany of Christmas songs that are all just gospel-based. And so, of course, I broke out when he told me that, and I started thinking about the Christmas songs, and I started singing, "Joy to the world! The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King." See, there's no question about having to believe it. "Let every heart prepare him room." Let every heart. How could every heart prepare him room? How could it be joy to the world, quoting the Bible? Because God redeemed the entire world, ladies and gentlemen, through the sacrifice of Yeshua. It wasn't on December 25th that he was born, by the way. That is a Greek pagan holiday celebrating the winter solstice, when the sun starts to stay up longer. You know, they were very conscious of the sun, not the S-O-N, but the S-U-N. And once the day started getting longer, they decided to have a holiday for it. And it was a Greek pagan celebration. You ever wonder what all the lights are about on the Christmas trees and the giving and Santa Claus and all that stuff? That is all pagan, as is the celebration of Easter, which is the celebration of the Greek goddess Ishtar, the goddess of fertility. And, you know, I don't have any problems with people celebrating at any time. We're always ready for a party, right, Joe? No doubt. But here's the problem, beautiful humans. When people that call themselves Christians criticize pagans for being pagan and then do the same damn thing themselves, even if it's in ignorance, judging those for being guilty of the very thing they are guilty for in the Christian eyes, which is being pagan. But Jesus said it like this, Yeshua, salvation in Hebrew, said it like this. He said, "Judge not, lest you be judged." Because with the same way you judge, it will be meted out back against you. In other words, with the same intensity of which you judge, judgment will be come back into your life. Not from God, because Yeshua, Jesus, took all the judgment from God. But it's just the old proverb that says you will reap what you sow. You do create an atmosphere. This is generally true. It's not specifically true, or we all be dead, for God's sakes. But the fact of the matter is, you see this all the time. You see it in your life. You see it in public display. In the same areas that people judge. Here for years, Jimmy Swaggart was so strong against sexual sin. And what happens to him? He's found in a hotel room masturbating to a prostitute. Ooh, that was a little bit too much information. But the fact of the matter is, it was the very thing. You can always know what a person is dealing with in their lives by what they're preaching real hard against. Ted Haggard led the forces in Colorado Springs against gay marriage. And what was my friend Ted found doing? Hooked up with a gay massage therapist taking crystal meth. Super.
Everybody needs a good massage gown again.
Right? Oh, a voice from the past. You know him, you love him, we can't live without him, ladies and gentlemen. It's a much more interesting Gospel Revolution program with the president and the founder of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. Mikey!
Melting.
Michael is melting.
I'm melting. Oh, my gosh. I got out. I had to go downtown in Houston. I allowed 2 extra hours. And just now rolled in. It's 87 degrees in my bedroom and pitch dark. I think I'm in my house. If I weren't on the phone, I would wonder. So.
Well, you know, we'll let you catch your breath. You got something to drink, at least?
You know, I would have to go back to the kitchen to get
something.
All right,
go ahead, because I'm going to talk for a second. Go get yourself something to drink. Seriously.
Yes, I'm going to. I desperately need it.
All right, go ahead, come on, and then we'll come on back. But we just heard via email from Jeff Benham in beautiful Victoria, Australia. Jeff, if you're listening, I'm going to read your email because it's beautiful. But we have designated you our Australian correspondent. So we would love to hear from you. So I'm responding to Jeff right now on my little laptop. It's actually not so little, but it works quite nicely. I've never had any complaints about my laptop. And invite Jeff to call us, and we're inviting you to call us at 1-800-436-3260. We're supposed to hear somewhere around the bottom of the hour from George Howell of boldgrace.com, our Pennsylvania correspondent. But there is room for you at 1-800-436-3260. Michael, now online with us, 1-800-436-3260. Sean O'Halloran, ready to screen your call. There is a sigh from Michael.
Yes.
So you're back. All right, so we're going to let you collect your thoughts, but, I've been thinking about this and figure that you might like to comment, and maybe you've thought about it, that back in the day, if a word of faith, born-again, tongue-talking, faith-believing person would experience a hurricane, and let's say, for example, their power did not go out. Like when Hurricane Charlie came through Tampa a couple years ago, not only did our power not go out, it didn't even flicker. As trees and houses were being damaged all over the place, our satellite signal, DirecTV, where you can get like a little cloud cover and the satellite will go out, we didn't even lose satellite during the hurricane. And now, we did not pray for 1 second, ladies and gentlemen. Not 1 second for safety. We didn't pray in tongues. We didn't ask God for protection. It just happened. But back in the day, of course, we would have prayed, and we would have taken credit for that protection and that blessing from God, that our faith was so great that he protected our home, even though people across the street had lost power for a week or 10 days. In the same vein, if we would have lost power, like Michael has now in Houston, we would have said, we are under attack from the devil, we need help, we need prayer, we need intercession. And then the people that would be especially cursed, if you will, during a storm like that, the Christian populace, the Christian ministry, would say, well, somewhere the devil got in there. Somewhere this is a representation. Michael, you sitting in the dark right now in Houston, Texas, is an example of the darkness that is in your life. Now you know, as we mentioned last week, that the people have been teaching and preaching all over the world that the people moved from New Orleans after Katrina to Houston, and then Ike followed. Oh, my God. It just occurred to me. Ike and Tina Turner. Katrina was as close to Tina. You could make a sermon out of that for sure.
Oh, believe me, we were all yelling towards the ocean. Tina is not here.
That is hysterical. All right, so on a more serious level, if we can be serious for a moment, because obviously people lost their lives and there was massive devastation. What has been your experience? Now, you've been without power for how long now?
Well, let's see. 7, 8, 9. I'm going on my 10th day without power.
But who's counting, right?
Yeah, really.
All right. So as opposed to what your experience would have been or was when you went through trials and tribulations when you were in the church, why don't you convey to the beautiful human some of the thoughts and emotions that you've been experiencing over these last 10 days?
Well, you know, that it really is it's a profound salvation has taken place in my soul. I am still looking forward to more of the recesses of my soul and my mind to be saved and experience the salvation of God in its becoming congruent and in agreement with the gospel, which is that it's all done already anyway. But Glenn, it didn't make any difference whether I was a Baptist or with the children of God out, you know, out burning the bottoms of my feet off, you know, walking in Florida witnessing or.
Right, not too far from where the studio is here on Clearwater Beach.
Absolutely. Did that day after day for a period of time and, from there to all the way to my childhood, the searching, Glenn, I searched for God in everything, every moment, every possible scenario that I could find God. And this is the reason that all of this is so profoundly, real to me, is this desperate search for God has been in my heart and life to my earliest memory, testing and seeing and praying and waiting and fleecing and to an exhaustive mental state of being mentally unhealthy. And all the way through, this didn't just start in my Word of Faith days. My Word of Faith days just took all of that mass confusion and validated it.
And amped it up.
It validated it and put it in an organized form and said, now you do this, you know, you're just not doing it in the right order, right form, right style, right way, right volume. And they added all of those things to it. And but I'm telling you, to have your soul saved from all of that, to where that events are just events. You know, I'm really happy for people that see you know, some involvement of God doing or not doing something. But I am glad to be freed from it all. I just do not spiritualize any of these events, whether I have lights, don't have lights, and the frustration that I do not have. Do I have frustration? Yes, but it's real frustration.
Right.
It's measurable frustration. It is directable frustration.
Right. It doesn't compound the challenge that you're facing, thinking that, is the devil gotten in? Is God trying to teach you something? Is God punishing you?
Yeah, and getting mad at God, too, you know? Like, why is it that just across the street now that power has come to a row of houses in the same complex, not a different complex? All of these houses were built at the same time. It's all the same complex. Only, you know, a total of about 50 houses in here, and 7 of them have power, and the rest don't. And you know, it's but there's all kinds of situations. There's people who you are in much more dire straits than myself. In many different ways who are still without power. There are people who are multimillionaires that their lights came on, you know, the next day after the hurricane. And so the ability to stop my mind from connecting the dots I was a dot connector, and I can spot a dot connector now a mile away. And, you know, oh, this, and well, it's
well,
that.
Well, that's a fun thing to do when you're a kid, you know, when you're traveling on a journey, like a long car ride. And,
yes.
You know, you have the little dot, connect the dots. But,
yeah.
But I think Paul was the one that said, when I was a kid, I did childish things. But now I put away childish things. We used to say that those childish things were smoking, drinking, and chewing, and hanging around with girls that were doing. And I think we lost Michael. So more challenges. But those things, folks, are not what he was talking about. He was talking about the childishness of exactly what Michael was just saying, trying to connect the dots. Why is it childish? Because kids do things and try to live a certain way in a way that reflects their inexperience and their lack of knowledge and their lack of maturity and security. Or we could say they act immature and insecure. People who have been established in the grace of God are secure in their identity. And I was talking to my kids last night only about a particular challenge that I face with a physical ailment. And I said, I do not find my identity in what I am facing. I find my identity in the way that the creator of the universe identifies me as a righteous and perfect and holy and forgiven and all-loved, beautiful human. People think that I refer to you folks as beautiful humans just as some sort of, you know, catchy phrase, or and that there's some truth to that. But the fact of the matter is I've made a choice to see all human beings the way God sees them, in their potential, in the understanding that God Almighty has forgiven them, and so who am I to judge them? Who am I to hold them in disrepute? Who am I to say that you are less in the eyes of the Almighty than I am? Who's to say that somebody who has a little bit darker skin or has more melanin in their skin or is a different sex or a different nationality or from a different religious heritage or a different sexual orientation is somehow less in the eyes of God than I am? That's immature, ladies and gentlemen. That is childish. Now, there's a difference between being childish and childlike. We're supposed to have childlike faith, and the faith that we're supposed to have is to have the kind of faith where you're a little kid and you jump into the pool knowing that your mom or dad is going to catch you or be there for you. That's the kind of faith that we're supposed to have towards God. Just completely abandon our faith, completely abandon our trust to Him who has proven throughout history and throughout our study of the Bible and in context, Michael, that he is trustworthy.
Yes, I do believe that. It is the despiritualizing of, to me, you know, of jumping or not jumping. That it's that part of it. Just to me, Glenn, has nothing to do with God's involvement. Even though I know. That God is all in all, and He's within me.
Right, but what I'm talking about is for our relationship with Him, not for what you've been facing or what everybody faces. My brother's mother-in-law was just recently, like within the last week, diagnosed with breast cancer, and today she had a double mastectomy, and they found out that it actually was worse than they thought, into her lymph nodes and stuff. So, no, in no way were we talking about things like that or a hurricane or all the kinds of trials and tribulations that human beings face. But we can trust God completely and have that abandonment to God in the sense of our eternal destiny and our relationship with Him and how He perceives us.
Right, and that is the confidence that we have is His, that regardless of these circumstances or how they come out, that His view of us never changes. And that's what's so profoundly different between the gospel that I have felt compelled to share, and is that it completely divorces all of those things from any perception of figuring out what God's view and opinion of me happens to be. People's views of God are all over. We're going to be posting a poem that was written by a very brilliant unpublished author that is entitled "Kill Your God."
Well, he's going to be published pretty soon, so.
Well, he's going to be published on the Gospel Revolution
exactly.
site for sure, and I can tell you. This poem embodies pretty much everything that I'm trying to get across to people. And sometimes you have to say things to the extreme to get people to the middle of the road in their thinking. And this poem is just so profound. It is just, it really is, and again, we just got it written down on paper, and I'm still without power, so I have to find a computer if I do get to one, and then it's, do I have the materials that I need when I get there? So, with patience, in fact, George heard this at this point.
Yeah, he actually mentioned it to me, when we were speaking earlier this afternoon. We're gonna get to George Howell of boldgrace.com momentarily, beautiful women. You're listening to Glenn Klein Online. We've got, Michael Williams, who does have phone service, but no electricity in his home in Houston. But the Marriott North at Greenpoint does have electricity, correct, Michael?
Yes, it does. In fact, they are full to capacity.
Yeah, where we'll be having the convention. So let your hearts not be troubled, beautiful humans. The place that we are holding the convention in 45 days is fully powered now, so they will be ready to rock and roll, obviously, when we get there on November 5th. Before we get to George, Michael, I want to just talk for a second on a human level to you about what you've been experiencing in the dark. And by your own admission on this radio show, you have admitted to being a so-called news junkie and following what's happening not only with our government and in politics and the current affairs, but also the popular culture. Well, for the last 10 days, you haven't had radio, you haven't had television. What have you been experiencing personally? What kind of difference? You're actually experiencing life in some ways the way people did before there was electricity, but in the wake of having an entire life that was based on electrical power, and certainly in the last 10 years or so, with the advent of 24-hour news channels, being kept up to date moment by moment, and you're one of those people that like to stay up to date. What's been going on with you? How's that been going, and what are some of the things that you've been experiencing personally during this time?
Well, it is quite interesting to become divorced, if you will, from all of those things. And believe me, once it gets down to the basics, a cool breeze would be far more welcome than the ability to turn on the TV.
Yeah, I was talking to Michael yesterday, and I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm in the garage trying to catch a breeze." I said, "You're in the garage trying to cool off?" You know, what becomes important and the things that we take for granted, all of a sudden, like you say, just a cool breeze or a cold beverage, something that we don't even ever think about.
Oh, something with just ice in it just became just as like, you know, where could we possibly find, you know, a place that would serve me something, anything. I didn't care really what it was as long as it had ice in it, you know. So it's been very interesting. Even though I was in Hurricane Wilma, I was able to just get out of there. I've not been able to get away from here, though, in the situation that I happen to be right now, and it's pretty much just finances. There's no way that I can get out of here, you know. I can't, you know, if there's a motel room available someplace, it's just, the funds just aren't there for me to go and do that. But
By the way, for those folks who have responded to our financial appeal in Michael's Hour of Need, we do thank you, guys like Richard Mull
and the people
that have ordered CDs recently. And we've just got a donation today from Ryan Cunningham in New Jersey. But, folks, the need is real, and we didn't go through all this, of course, to make a financial appeal, but your money is always welcome at gospelrevolution.com by clicking on the donations. And, of course, in the United States of America, it is tax-deductible. Well, he's been patient, and we appreciate him joining us because we know he's an early-to-bed kind of guy. We don't hear from him enough. Our Bold Grace correspondent, and also from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the most high reverend, George Howell. George!
Hey, guys, what's up?
How you doing, my brother from another mother?
Pretty good. I'd like to appeal for a change.
What kind of change?
Seems that I travel the country pretty much with my job, I'd like to no longer be the Pennsylvania correspondent, but the Bold Grace Nationwide correspondent.
All right, brother. Well, that
we go for that.
You are our Bold Grace correspondent, and George has demonstrated much boldness in the understanding and the articulation of the grace of God. George, why don't you tell the beautiful humans a story that you informed Michael and I about a plane ride in your travels for your business that you had recently that really was a fun thing and a blessing, and I know everybody around the world will enjoy hearing it.
Well, I boarded the plane last week in California for the ride back to Pennsylvania, and the first leg was an hour and a half from Burbank to Phoenix. And just so happened, I sat beside a young man, and as we began to take off, he said, "Oh," he says, "I don't like takeoff." I said, "Well, what's the matter?" He said, "Oh," he says, "I just don't like them." And I laughed. I said, "Well, don't worry about it." I said, "It's not the going down that's the problem. It's that sudden stop at the end." and we kind of laughed together. And I said, anyway, it doesn't matter what happens at the end because it's all been taken care of. I said, "And you're not going to leave this planet until your time is ready." I said, "You know, you can't go before, you can't go, you know, sooner, you can't go later than what your time is." And he kind of thought about it for a minute, and he looked at me, he says, "Thank you." He says, "You know, I believe that." So we went quiet for a little bit, and somehow, I don't know, he began to, I guess the Christ in me saw, you know, the Christ in him, which he didn't know about, saw the Christ in me, and he says, "I'm in a 12-step program." I mean, this was just out of the blue. And I said, "Oh, really?" And he proceeded to tell me all about it, and that he lived on this boat in Southern California, and that he had a problem with alcohol, and, you know, he's in a 12-stepper, and I congratulated him on how that was going for him, and we began to talk, and then he told me, he says, "You know, my brother is this crazy religious fanatic." I said, "Well, yeah, what kind of religion?" He said, "He's a radical Christian." I said, "Well, what does he believe?" He says, "Well, he's got it figured out to the very day, 34 months from now, when the world's going to end." And I said,
does he have a day? Or how about
how
about if you could just give us a heads up for the next hurricane? That probably would be helpful.
Yeah, exactly. And I said, you know, he said he has it right down to the day. I said, "Well, listen, let me tell you something." I said, "The world ended 2008 years ago." I said, "You don't have to worry about the world ending in 34 months. I said, your world might end when this plane crashes, but the world's not going to end."
Oh, that was very very reassuring to him, I'm sure, George.
not even if.
That was not good preaching, Roberts. That was not a positive confession.
but I wanted him to know it didn't matter whether we live or whether we die. It's Christ, and it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So anyway, he proceeded to tell me this and that. He says, "Well, you know, I believe in a higher power and this and that." And I said, "Well, your higher power is Jesus. You just don't know it." And he looked at me real quizzically. He says, "What do you mean?" And I went through the whole scenario, you know. And he says, "You really believe that my higher power is Jesus?" I said, "Oh, absolutely." I said, "You know, we all walk across a bridges every day. We travel bridges in cars. We go across roads. And we go across all these places that we don't know the names, you know, the bridge to wherever it was. We don't know the name of the bridge, but it got us there." I said, "Any peace you found because of Christ."
Right.
I said, "You know, you don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept it. I said, just know that your peace is peace. And he looked at me again. He said, I wish my brother was here. I said, well, and this, I talked to Michael about this last week. I said, I just have one question for you to ask your brother about the judgment of the world that he says is coming in 34 months. Ask him if love, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says love keeps no record of wrong. If love keeps no record of wrong, how can there be a future judgment of the world? Because in order for judgment to take place, there has to be a record. If there is no record, there can be no judgment.
Now that's good preaching, Robert.
Absolutely.
And he looked at me, he says, man, he said, I can't wait to get back. He said, I love my brother, he said, but he's a religious nut. He said, I can't wait to lay this on him. So we, you know, we had a nice time, and, you know, I wished him on his way. And then the second part of the leg of the trip was 4.5 hours from Phoenix to Pittsburgh. And I was really dreading that because it was a long trip out, and I knew what kind of trip it was going back. Anyway, it just so happened, I sat beside a lady, and we started talking. And I asked her, I said, we, in a conversation, she said something about planes, and she used to be a stewardess. I said, oh, what do you do now? She says, and she just looked at me kind of, you know, giving me the once over. She says, I work with my husband. And she didn't say anything more. And once again, I guess the Christ in me must have saw the Christ in her. And I said, after a few minutes, I said, well, what's your husband do? And she gave me that quizzical look again, like, why do you want to know? She said, well, he's in the recording industry. And he's gospel and R&B. So I let it sit for another 2 or 3 minutes. And I came out of me. I said, well, do you know Carlton Pearson? And then her face lit up. She goes, why would you mention, and by the way, not for nothing, but she was an African-American woman. She goes, why would you mention Carlton Pearson to me? I said, well, you said your husband was in gospel, and, you know, Carlton was a big gospel recording artist, and blah, blah, blah. I said, a friend of mine is friends with Carlton, speaking of Mike. And she goes, really? She said, what happened? So we began to talk. And it just so happens this woman and her husband are pastors of a church in, I guess, in the Hollywood area, in Los Angeles area, that has quite a few Hollywood types that go to their church. If I mention the names, everybody would know the names, but I'm not going to do that because she asked that I didn't mention the names.
Can you give us the initials?
Yeah, WS.
Click in me.
WS and JP.
All right, there you go, folks. But they're well known. Let's just put it that way.
They're well known, and they're husband and wife. But anyway, that really didn't mean anything to me, you know.
No, but it is an interesting little factoid.
Absolutely, it was interesting, and so we ended up talking on this conversation. You know, they had been in Philadelphia. They started out. They moved from Philadelphia to Dallas. And then this certain couple asked them to move to California to start a church. So they've been in California, I don't know, a year or two maybe. I'm not sure how long it's been. But she was very receptive and very open to the gospel as we preach it. Or, as I like to say to people, as the Apostle Paul preached it.
Yes. You know, one of the things, Michael, that we're finding, and we've talked about this frequently, is that whether it be through Carlton or through this effort or whatever, we are thankful for any manifestation as
right.
People approach the concept of everybody being united and nobody being better off. I was watching Imus in the morning on RFD television. That's where you can find him now. And since his problems with the Rutgers University women's basketball team, he has had a couple of African-Americans now on his program as regular cast members. But he was interviewing Sally Quinn of the Washington Post. And since 9/11, the best way to say it is his former atheist, his very well-known, powerful Washington socialite woman, has gotten religion since September 11th, 2001. And Sally Quinn now hosts a program and a blog and a feature on Newsweek.com and also on the WashingtonPost.com called On Faith. And here I'm watching on the IMAS program them talk about faith, Michael, and talking about God. And, you know, here are these very powerful, intelligent people like the people that George just referred to. And they're getting close. And the only interesting thing about getting in touch with folks like Oprah, which we, of course, talked about her many times, or people that are have a little bit further reach, is that when they get to understand the answer. See, Sally Quinn says she's open to all religion, but she doesn't like any religions that put themselves above the other religion. Well, Sally, sorry, but they all do that. That's why it's called religion. It literally means to put back under bondage. It's the Latin word religare. But, Mikey, it's so wonderful to hear these stories like George has shared or to see the manifestation of this absolutely force that's in the universe called the gospel. I mean, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. When you understand that we are all one, that it's not just logical and nice and a better way of thinking, but literally there is a tremendous history behind it and a logic behind it, like our friend Mike Farmer has gospellogic.com. You've shared this with scientists and with constitutional experts, and they have told you that this is the most logical explanation of anything that you could find in science, and that the Constitution of the United States, far from what the Christian media would say, is based not on Christianity, but on the gospel. And it's because of the articulation and the logical way and the systematic way and the contextual way that you've approached the Bible. Michael, it's happening right in our midst, even in the midst of darkness in Houston, even in the midst of a webcast, on air flights, on television shows, on webcasts, in the newspaper, in our current events. It is happening right before our eyes, and it is a glorious thing to witness.
Well, with people like George Howell out there that is part of the gospel revolution, the thing of it that is so peaceful, you know, I'm laying here, you know, toasting on the top of my bed, you know, stretched as far limb from limb as I can get with my gym shorts on. And
thanks for that bit of information, right?
Yeah,
that's good.
I don't want any part touching another part right now. it's sweltering in here, but it's nice to know that if this is the last place I lay my body down, that the gospel. I hope that people understand that I enjoy the gospel. I don't feel a requirement to do what I do. And that's the reason that I don't know how to respond when people ask me, if God called me to do this. I'm very grateful for all of the things that people say and the encouraging things, but the fact of the matter is that if this place where I lay is the last place I lay alive, it can't stop what's going on, no matter to what degree I am a part of it or am not a part of it. I am so confident that the gospel, that for whatever reason, I don't care why. You just got to understand, I don't care why I understood it. It's the why get caught up in caring why I found out about the gospel. I don't care why. I got it.
Right.
People like George and you and, my goodness, people all around the world.
Right. Now, and I want to mention two things hopping on that. Is that, first of all, the why question, folks, and you've heard Michael say this many times, why, the question why, W-H-Y, is the only question that blinds the eye. If you get hung up in why certain things are happening or why you've gone through a certain experience, you will not be able to see clearly. But the answer is not why, or the question is not why, the question is who. The question is who. Who saved your soul? Who redeemed the whole planet? Who is has predestined all humanity? Now, you say you're a little toasty right now, Michael?
Just pito.
The description of what lies ahead for the vast majority of humanity, according to evangelical Christianity, makes what you're experiencing right now look like a deep freezer.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking about a loving God, and Michael is just in a warm home right now. We're not talking about being burned forever in torment, not being able to stop screaming, forever! Are you kidding me? It is.
Yeah, I guess you kind of say, Glenn, this is a cool day in hell.
Yeah. Now, we got George Howell of BoldGrace.com online, and I want to read this email because you talk about the pleasure, George and Michael, of sharing this thing. This is from our Australian correspondents, Jeff and Kate Benham. The email says, "Hi, Michael and Glenn. This is Jeff and Kate from Australia saying, the gospel of Jesus Christ certainly is a glorious gospel, which embraces us all, A-double-L in all caps. Jeff and I have had more opportunity to share this gospel with everyone. We can't stop talking about it. It's so easy to share because it makes perfect sense, and people just love it. You are so right, Michael, when you say we don't have to water down the gospel or tailor it according to the circumstances of the person we share it with. We found no one argues against it because the truth of God's love is already in their hearts. Just like you were saying, George, the Christ in you saw the Christ in them.
Right.
This gospel just agrees with their heart. Everyone we share this with confesses Jesus is the Lord as they mutter through our conversation, oh yeah, I believe Jesus did that. Not making him Lord, but just agreeing that he is Lord. Kate says, it is so normal. And she capitalizes the word normal. This gospel, this treasure, which we have in earthen vessels, is not manipulated or forced. But it is the effect of righteousness displayed, which is quietness and assurance. It's not just for private showing, but for public viewing. It's for blessing. As he is, so are we. We've been pondering the fruit of the Spirit lately, especially the fruit called faithfulness. It's not about being committed and dedicated members of a religious organization, but it's about the fruit of righteousness and faithfulness naturally appearing from within free people without any manipulation or striving on their part. Faithfulness is not forced. It's the natural effect of the life within. It's Christ in us who is recognized as the peaceable fruits of righteousness. As we identify and agree with him, he is expressed in our words and in our life. Thank you so much for your broadcast, Glenn, and your teaching, Michael. We are blessed because of you. Everything here is going great. Freedom does lovely things to people. It just makes their little hearts melt. So God's love is on all of our branches for the taking. Come on, you beautiful humans everywhere. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We love fellowship. If ever anyone would like to contact us, our email is Jeffrey, and it looks like JJJ at OptUsenet, which is OptUsenet.com.au. Jeffrey, Jeffrey, JJJ at OptUsenet.com.au, and that's from Kate and Jeff Benham of Victoria, Australia. Gentlemen, that is good preaching, Roberts. That is good news, Michael. And that's coming from Australia.
Yeah, well, you know, this has definitely spread throughout the planet, you know, where there's not a part that we haven't been able to reach, you know, and the stories that I could tell as to how those things happened would extend from broadcast to broadcast to broadcast. But it really is true, you know. The profound unity of the gospel, the uniformity of it, and taking away this making Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. There is no way that I could express to everyone within the sound of my voice and beyond. Hopefully, that's why that we ask people to support what we're doing. We want to reach people beyond our voice at this point and go even further. But we're reaching a lot of places right now. But it's that amazing reality that when you stop focusing on you're making Jesus Lord, something that, by the way, is not in any text in the Bible whatsoever.
Yeah, you think if it was
in
that...
In context or out of context.
You think that if it was that important, it'd be in there at least once.
Kind of would be, yes. And it's not there. It just isn't there at all. And but you see, those statements have blinded people to the reality of the all-inclusiveness of the work of the cross. And every time, I think every time I hear the verse that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, it speaks more and more to me. You know, to have salvation, you have to have good news already in place. And that good news is not good news if and or but. And it's just good news. How in the world we came up with a gospel, if and or but good news, that would bring salvation, I don't know. The only way that it brings salvation is the fact that it is good news.
Yep.
And the good news is that you have been redeemed. Not that you can be redeemed, but that God has given you a chance. It is not good news that God gave people a chance and that 90% of the population of the earth is going to burn in hell forever. That will not save your soul. In fact, it will pollute your soul.
Right.
It will bring confusion. It will bring grief. It will bring delusion and illusion.
It'll bring manipulation, just like Kate was talking about.
Absolutely. And guilt. And the manifestations are limitless, and we see them around this planet all the time. I mean, every day it is amazing. But listen, folks, clearly. Again, we'll say it again. You'll hear me, Glenn, and George, all of us quote this all the time while we have breath. Paul said that the gospel is the power of God. He didn't say it is the source of God's power. He didn't say the gospel is the way to get to God's power. He didn't say the gospel is how we access God's power. He said the gospel is the power of God that leads to the saving of the soul, the mind, the emotions, that part of us, even that will, our will, which sometimes gets in our way. Then please believe me, you're not, the part of your salvation is not to relinquish your will. It's learning how to use your will for your benefit and the benefit of those around you,
and
instead of using your will for the destruction of yourself and those around you.
Right, because what it does, it allows you to find your identity not in how other people see you, but
Absolutely.
How God sees you. You know, it reminds me of another verse, George, that you alluded to, where the Bible says God is love. Not that God produces love. Not that God could encourage you if you pray enough and if you fast enough and if you go to church enough and read your Bible enough that he will produce that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 kind of love, but that it is already, as you said, inside every human being. And it's just a question of people like yourself and like ourselves and like Jeff and Kate and like Greg Amberge and like Richard Mull, and like Abraham Mackey, and then like Mark Gaw, and like Pep Washburn, and like Ivan Rogers, who we had on a couple of weeks ago, like Sean O'Halloran and Joe Klein, just identifying the love that's already inside people.
Right.
Your point about that love does not hold an account. It does not remember fault. We could never attain that. We always remember fault, or mostly do.
Absolutely.
But when people have been tormented, George Howell, for literally centuries trying to live up to something that only God could do.
Yes. Yes. Can I add one thing before I close out my part here?
Well, you know, Christ did set you free, Georgie, so go for it.
Well, this is for one of our readers at Bold Grace, and it's all for people that there's a lot of people that feel they can't share what's in their heart right yet. The pastor's wife that was on the plane, she was one of them that, you know, she said, I can't tell the people exactly what's in my heart right now. I said, that's okay. I said, the gospel has been planted in your heart. I said, there'll come a day when you won't be able to contain it any longer.
Yeah, we can relate to that, Mikey.
And you won't care the consequences.
Right. It took us a better part of a decade before you did the teaching on the redemption of the world. But once the horse is out the barn, the horse is out. There's no coming back.
And here's my encouragement to those people that are along that path right now. Jason wrote back to one of my posts about the plane ride. He said, George, you're truly bold to be able to talk so freely with folks about the gospel. It's a lot harder for me to do that because I already know most of the objections that people have to it, and I don't have a very good answer for them. I'm glad you're out there sharing the good news. Well, my response to him was, Jason, you don't have to have the answers. Just ask questions of these people and see what happens.
No doubt.
Like the question, if love keeps no record of wrong, how is there going to be a judgment?
Right.
As
I do my life coaching, I share the life principle of seek first to understand and then be understood. It's a great principle, ladies and gentlemen. Seek first to understand where people are at. And the way you do that is what George just said. Ask them questions. And the amazing thing about that perspective, Michael, is as you show people that you're interested in their opinion, you reap what you sow. They will be interested in what you have to say. And, you know, Kate said that nobody has any objections to this. They must not come up against too many born-again, spirit-filled Christians recently, which is, you know, God bless them. That's good. But you're out there enough, Jeff and Kate. You'll run into some religious folks.
Maybe they're not talking to religious people.
Well, you know, so far, so good. But when I was listening to Sally Quinn today on this nationally heard Imus in the Morning radio program, she talked about the churches that are doing the best right now, like Joel Osteen's church right down there in Houston, Mike, or Rick Warren's church in California, or T.D. Jakes' church in the Dallas area. And she said, people are not focused anymore on the burning and the hell and the fire and brimstone. It's all about how to improve your life and to how God wants to bless you and to make a better you out of you. Well, we never say that, folks. We know that the establishment of the grace of God will stabilize your heart. Out of that comes a different perspective and a different way of seeing things, and out of that there may be some different behavior. But we would never say that the stories that we share validate the truth of God, because the truth is the truth no matter what happens.
Yes, absolutely. You know, one of the things that one of those freakouts, you know, during the process of learning and understanding and speaking the gospel, I remember one of the objections to my teaching was, but we are supposed to try to live a life that brings glory to God. And I was so shocked with my response, as I am many times. And my response was, I said, well, even when you see me, as far as what you would think, when you see me completely screw up, that gives glory to God. And they just all sat there with mouths dropped open. How can, when I completely screw up, does it bring glory to God? Because when I screw up now, it is not held against me because of the work of the cross. That brings glory to God. If you want to see the glory of God, watch not when people do things right and do it all good. If you really want to see the glory of God, look at the prostitute on the street or the person who just got arrested on TV and you see them in handcuffs and realize that they may have to go through the legal system, but God does not hold that against them. Just by the very act of the fact that God doesn't hold it against them, it brings glory to God. But you see, because we have defined the gospel as a moral code, we believe that God only gets glory when things go right.
Right, and that's what Sally Quinn was saying, that religion can be a a guiding post or a moral code for people. That's why it's a good thing. And I was thinking, Sally, come on over, honey. It's the water's just fine. She said that these churches like T.D. Jakes and Joel Osteen and Rick Warren's church, you know, they don't focus on the hell and fire and brimstone. But we all know that if it's got a Christian name and it's successful, in other words, people are coming, and you get down to the nitty-gritty, and you get down to the basics, and if you gave them some truth serum, not on the Larry King show, not on Oprah, excuse me, but if you asked them and they had to tell you the truth, what happens to people who don't make Jesus Christ their personal Lord and Savior? They wouldn't say what they say on Larry King. Well, Larry, you know, God's the judge. They would say they go straight to H-E double hockey sticks. And, you know, if you put a gun to Sarah Palin's head and said, Sarah, what do you, Governor, we know you're a hockey mom, but what happens to people that don't believe the way you do? She would say they go straight to H-E double hockey sticks. And you know what, Michael? It is so freeing and so wonderful to be able to say the young man that impregnated Sarah Palin's daughter that they're forcing to marry her 17-year-old daughter because of political expediency, God does not look at that young man or her daughter or even her or John McCain or Barack Obama or Joe Biden or T.D. Jakes or Joel Osteen or Rick Warren or George Howell or Mike Williams or Glenn Klein or anybody else, or Ahmadinejad, who's visiting the UN right now, just because he wants Israel destroyed. He is not against God. God is for him. God has redeemed him. God, this guy that wants to kill the Jewish people in the state of Israel, as a Jewish man, I can boldly, if I can borrow that phrase, George, say that Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, who wants Israel wiped off the face of the map, is as righteous as Yeshua, the Jew himself, that saved his soul and redeemed him from that judgment of God. Now, that's good preaching. I don't care who you are. That's good preaching.
Yeah, it's definitely good news. And, of course, we don't know with the Palin situation whether they're being forced or not. But the fact of it is, in the Christian circles, they would have definitely been judged for being in that situation. But, you know, it seems like, you know, well, they're okay because they went through the formula. You know, they repented, yep. Repainted, re-upped, re-antied, re-varnished. And, you know, they did all of that. Now they're going to do the right thing. And, you know, doing the right thing could be for them to get married. But most likely, we don't know, but most likely the choice is not there, that the only acceptable thing is marriage. When the fact of it is, the best thing for each of those and for that child could be, if they had the option to choose, as they claim that they had, if they had the option to choose, could be for them not to get married, especially right now.
Yeah, the best thing might be to give that baby up for adoption to a family who is prepared and just so desirous of having a child. Obviously,
and ready to have one.
And ready to have one and financially equipped and not going to be brought up and under the spotlight of national and international politics. But that's just what I think. Georgie, thank you so much. George Howell, boldgrace.com, ladies and gentlemen, and get some sleep. And
all right, brothers.
Hey, and George, you know, I've got your No Ten Commandments T-shirt.
Good.
And I got an email, you beautiful humans who have gone to the brand-new, refreshed gospelrevolution.com homepage, have seen the design for our Gospel Revolution teacher. It is a teacher. A T-shirt and bumper sticker. If you're wondering what it looks like, just go to gospelrevolution.com, page down on the right side, and you will see the very new and soon to be released Gospel Revolution, let's just say the law no longer exists T-shirt and bumper sticker design that made George, first thing in the morning, email me and say, get me one in my size.
Yeah, exactly, the big guy size. Hey, one thing, Mike. I find it hard to believe that there's no electricity in Houston because you have enough charge to light up the world, brother. And the other thing is, you are a cold drink of water. I'm sorry that you don't have any ice, but you're a cold drink of water in this dry land. So I really appreciate you guys. And that goes for you too, Glenn.
Thanks, George. Appreciate it. Always good to hear from you.
Love
George,
you, man.
Love you too. There's George Howell in, where did he say he was in tonight? I think Kentucky. And then he's headed back to the Pittsburgh, PA area. I tell you, this is so much fun, Michael. We're going to have more fun next week on Wednesday night, Lord willing, and if the creek don't rise, we'll have our regular hump day edition of Glenn Klein online. And then on November 5th, I got the flyer in the day today, Michael. Hazel sent it out. The Gospel Revolution Convention 2008. And we're going to be able to get together with people from all over the planet and have to just be saturated in this kind of sense of oneness and unity and fun and spiritual stuff for 5 days, parts of 5 days. Carlton Pearson, Harold Lovelace, Greg Amberg, yours truly, and the ever getting thinner, I would imagine, Michael Williams. Have you been in the gym at all during this time?
Not very much. Actually, they've opened the 24-hour fitness, opened the gym to everyone, regardless of membership or not. Before the hurricane, and all they did is make my gym a disaster. So,
yeah. So I guess you probably don't need to sweat anymore right now. But
at least it's air conditioned sweat. So.
Just think about all the toxins that are being released from your system.
Yeah, my gym's air conditioned, and my home isn't. So.
Yeah, that's a strange.
Is the Lord trying to tell me something?
Well, if he is, it's contained in the scriptures and in many of the commentaries, especially, as George was saying, by Paul the Apostle, that, you know, when you were talking about God's glory being manifested, it was Paul who said, I do the things that I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I want to do, and the Catholics made a saint out of the guy.
Oh, I know.
So I think we need to have a Saint Michael Williams statue.
Well, I hate to inform you, we've already got one.
All right, well, maybe we'll do a Saint Michael Williams bobblehead then. And
we
could put that on the dashboard of our vehicles.
Of course, I could say once again, and speaking of bobblehead, you already got one.
Well, it's a bobblehead that we all love and support. And hang in there, brother.
I am. I'm getting out of here and going to spend the night with friends. I've been able to endure so far, but tonight is just too much.
And friends who have air conditioning, apparently.
Yes, they do.
All right. Well, get a good night's sleep, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Good talking with everyone.
We want to thank Kate and Jeff Benham for being in touch with us. We got lots of emails to get to next week. Don't hesitate, though, to email us your comments and questions at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And also all the tapes and, like I said, the refreshed homepage of gospelrevolution.com is just a click away. Hey, Sean, happy and safe travels to you to Hotlanta, and happy birthday. You should take a, Sean did appear on the Celebrating the Journey CD so that you could hear Sean's voice. For those of you that are awaiting or have just recently received your thank you gift for giving $100 or more in the summer pledge drive, you'll actually hear Sean O'Halloran's voice. And let me tell you, he's going to turn 29 on Thursday, but he doesn't look a day over 19. So, God's been very good to you, my friend. He said, we'll talk again when he turns 50. Well, Michael, you know, turned 50, and, you know, he doesn't look a day over 32.
Over 50?
No, you probably look even younger now, and you're more fit and thinner, sweaty, hurricane, post-hurricane Ike look. Well, you know what? One day you'll laugh about it. Well, you just laughed. So you're laughing about it now. That's a beautiful thing. All right, so tell all of your friends where they can find the good news every week, and we'll do it on Wednesday night, 1 week from Wednesday. And until then, be in touch. Call Michael. You can call him. The phone is working at 281-894-0101, 281-894-0101. Call him with a word of support, perhaps a little get over the hump of the hurricane a gift or order some CDs and sign up for the convention, for goodness sakes. It's coming up pretty quick. And, Michael, you got to get yourself in front of a TV on Friday. We've got Barack and Senator McCain going to debate. You got to check that out. Did you know that?
Yes.
Did you know that was coming up?
Yeah. I'm totally out of contact with everything. I know nothing.
Well, Barack Obama is going to be here in Dunedin, not too far from the studios here on Wednesday. And I've toyed with the idea. I was tempted to go hear what Rush Limbaugh calls Obama Messiah. But I'm going to resist the temptation and not sit out in the Florida heat for 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I'll
watch it on television.
Since we already have a Messiah.
Indeed. His name is Yeshua, and his name means in Hebrew salvation, and we've all been saved. And with that note of good news, beautiful humans, this is Glenn Klein online till next time saying, Shalom, everybody!